mates. Who went to the party last night? Yeah, I just thought, you know, getting the mood, keeping the mood of the party. And if, who went to the Hackhead one session earlier today? Maybe, yeah, they were talking about that song and it reminded me of that song. I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool just to get kind of get started with that and get pumped up and, you know, really excited because I love group policy. So that gets me really excited. And I thought, well, Star Wars and geeks, you know, well, don't be offended that I just called you a geek, but, you know, it might be. But, you know, I thought, yeah, let's get this started. So, how to get rid of logon scripts the easy and free way. That's what I'm here to teach you today. All right? Teach you, show you how. Who here has logon scripts in their environment right now? Okay, excellent. This session is for you. Who here doesn't have logon scripts in their environment? People, with your hands up, if you don't have logon scripts in your environment, you might not find this as exciting. But there will still be stuff in here that you could use in your environment, all right, for managing your environment using group policy. Basically, this is a group policy preferences session, all right? So I'm Alan Birchall. I'm a senior consultant. I live in Brisbane. I work for a company called Avanade. We're a big multinational consulting company for Microsoft solutions. I love coming here doing tech ed. This is my third year from tech ed in New Zealand. This is my third year that I've done a group policy preferences session. So if you've been to my previous ones and thought they were really great, thank you. This is going to be a bit of a repeat, so please don't say, oh, it's the same as last year. It's like, yes, it was kind of the same as last year, but by the show of hands before of people who still have logon scripts in your environment, obviously, there is still a big need to teach people about group policy preferences and how you can get rid of logon scripts. Alrighty. So I hate logon scripts. I really do. I worked at a company and I wrote this big script. It wasn't a logon script. It was a big script, though, to do something to control the local administrator group on my servers. And this was just before the release of Windows Server 2008. And it was this really nicely crafted script. I did it in VB. I was really proud of it. I went to my boss and I said, we should implement this. This is going to be great for controlling administrator access to our servers. And then Microsoft came out and they brought out Policy Maker. Okay, and they had some excellent extensions to group policy, and they basically brought them out and made them group policy preferences and say, here you go, have it for free. And I looked at that and I went, crap, I'm going to have to take that script and delete it because this does everything I need. And it does it all through the GUI. Don't need to code. And I'm not a coder, so that VB script I was really proud of. It took me ages, a lot of Googling on Bing to get all the code samples that I needed to make it work. Yeah, basically, group policy preferences, from that point on, I was sold. I loved it, and I've been praising it ever since then. But I do hate logon scripts so much so that I've registered the domain ihatelogonscripts.com. If you go to that website, it will redirect to my other website. It's just the redirection, really. Grouppolicy.biz. So that's my website. So everything I talk about here on stage, I will have had an article or blog post on my website, grouppolicy.biz. Okay, for those of you who haven't been there, I recommend you go there. It's just got lots of great information, it's just technical stuff with screenshots. I like to call it my version of TechNet with screenshots, because TechNet doesn't have many screenshots, and I like screenshots because I'm a visual type of person. All right, so if you're wondering, oh, how did you do that, or I want to know more, you can use that. You can use the contact form, so, you know, call me baby, or contact me baby, like the song at the start of the session. Absolutely, post questions or have a look on my website. There's probably an answer there. Okay, so let's go on. So group policy preferences, also known as absolutely everything you need to replace your logon scripts. All right, that's what I like to call them as well. All right, what are they? Okay, like I mentioned before, it was a third-party product that was bought out by Microsoft and it was included as a Windows Server 2008. That's when it came out, so it's been out for a few years. All right, it's a whole bunch of settings and actions. All right, notice I say actions. So some things can have actions, right? Other things can have settings. That's how I like to describe it. It's not just a bunch of settings. There's other things that it can do. All right, so actually doing a task. All right? And a whole bunch of ways of targeting them. So in a group policy object, you can only target a group policy object a limited number of ways. You can put a WMI filter on it, which hardly anyone uses because big performance overhead. It's okay if you're going from an XP to Windows 7 environment and you have your XP and Windows 7 machines in the same OU structure. Not that I would suggest you do that. I like to have them side by side. But if you do that, that's fine. Have a WMI filter. You can use security group filtering. Right? And of course, you can link them to organizational units, which is probably 98% of the time what you do. All right, but group policy preferences has a vast number of ways you can target the individual settings within a group policy object. Right? You still have your targeting of the group policy object itself, so your machine needs to be subjected to that group policy object. All right, but then within it, you can then do more granular filtering of the individual settings. These will only apply to preferences. I always get the question, can I do those settings, do that targeting on my administrator templates and my security settings? No, you cannot. All right, it's only preferences. So group policy preferences versus group policy policies, right? I use the term group policy policies as the native, or I sometimes say native administrator templates or native settings, all right? So this is a bit of a comparison between the two. How are they different? So group policies, they apply settings, of course, all right? They can do some kind of actions a little bit if in the security settings, all right? Generally speaking, it locks the user out, right? So if you configure something in IE, if you configure something, say, the screensaver, or configure something to do with the start bar, what you're doing is locking the UI. You're locking the user out of that, the ability to change that setting, all right? Because their policies, they'll apply. When you remove that policy setting, though, normally, most of the time, it reverts back to the original behavior. So if you had a screensaver set at 5 minutes and the old value was 10 minutes, and then you remove that policy, gets removed from that machine, and the settings come back, and it's back to 10 minutes from where it was at 5 minutes. And they're predefined. You have a whole bunch of predefined administrative templates. You have a whole bunch of security settings that are predefined. You can go in and handcraft your own administrator template admin ADMX, ADM files. You can do that for special registry keys, but you know that takes a little bit of jiggery pokery. But generally speaking, they're predefined. Group policy preferences, how do they differ? All right, like I said before, you can apply settings and actions. Okay, and there's a whole bunch of settings which I'll go into soon of exactly what you can do. Doesn't do much when removed, with a slight exception, and I'll show you that exception in a minute, but basically if you apply shortcut to a desktop, all right, and then you remove that policy, shortcut to the desktop stays there, doesn't get taken away. It doesn't revert back, it doesn't have that reversion sort of, generally speaking, doesn't have that reverting, so it doesn't have a revert back to previous setting, previous value option. And can be predefined. There's a whole bunch of predefined settings, but you can also have a really great lot of flexibility. There's a lot of actions in there that I'll show you. Registry keys, copying files, creating folders, stuff like that, that, you know, is as flexible as you want to be. If you want to create a registry key, if you want to create a folder, a file, move, copy, whatever, you really have a lot of power and flexibility with preferences, all right? So, a bit continued. Policies, native administrator template policies take precedence over preferences. All right. I set my home page using an administrator template, native policy, and I set my home page using an Internet Explorer preference. The administrative template, native policy will always take precedence. All right. Keep that in mind, because if you make a change thinking, oh, it's okay, I've got a preference, it's higher in the order list, no, it'll blat it. Okay, so preferences are the least order. But you can make them work together. All right, there are scenarios where you can say, I can configure this as a policy, I want this locked out, but this other setting here I want to be have the user maybe be able to configure it, because it doesn't lock them out of the UI. What do you need to install or do to make preferences work? So, I mentioned that preferences came out in Windows Server 2008, all right? Which meant that with Windows Server 2008, they had these things called the client-side extensions. Client-side extensions are the piece of software that you install on the operating system that enables the actions to be run on the machine. All right, it's basically saying, I know how to do a registry key, I know how to do a printer mapping, I know how to do a drive mapping, I know how to do this, that, and the other. All right, and it understands and pulls that information from Active Directory. Okay, but for Windows XP and Windows Vista, right, you need to install client-side extensions. Who still has Windows XP in their environment? All right, okay. All this, what I'm talking about, will work in Windows XP. You do not have to wait to go to Vista or Windows 7. Who's doing the migration to Windows Vista? Yeah, didn't think so. You do not have to wait to go to Windows 7 or Windows 8 to get this goodness. All right? You can deploy the client-side extensions. You might have seen it in WSUS. You can go to downloads.microsoft.com and download them there. You can deploy them via SCCM. You can deploy them via logon scripts, even though I hate logon scripts. It's a great way, you know, it's the last thing you'll ever do with your logon scripts is deploy the client-side extensions. But you need to get the client-side extensions on XP and Vista. And when you do that, they'll just light up. So if you had a preference configured for that machine and you didn't have the client-side extensions, nothing will happen. As soon as you install the client-side extensions, bang! Right? All those actions will start to take place. All right? And they'll start to process. So it is kind of a good way to test. If you've got XP in your environment, you say, well, I've got the client-side extensions on my machine, but no one else has them installed, so I can just test it on my machine. It's a nice-ish way. You know, you just got to be sure that no one else has inadvertently installed the client-side extensions. Okay? And you can also install on Windows Server 2003 and R2, because it was 2008 and on. So you can apply this to Windows Server as well. Like I mentioned, you can deploy it via WSUS script, SCCM, or a USB key, just a .exe file. You go around installing it manually like that. If you go to Windows Update as well, you'll notice that the client-side extensions are listed as an optional add-on, all right, to your computer. Right, how do you edit a group policy preference? Okay, you must have at least a Windows Vista machine. Who has a Windows Vista machine in their organization? Yeah, not many hands, I wouldn't admit that either. But at least, let's say Windows 7 machine in your organization. All right, for group policy preferences to edit it. You need that to install the group policy management console that has the new features that allows you to edit the group policies. So you can't edit group policy preference in Windows XP, but you can apply that group policy preference setting to a Windows XP machine. All right, so if you're 100% Windows XP in your environment, you can't use it. If you're 99.999.1% and you've got one machine that's on Windows 7 and that's the machine you do your administration from, you can use group policy preferences in your organization. No schema changes. I've seen this work in a Windows 2000 native Active Directory. All right? If you're in a Windows 2000 native Active Directory, that's the least of your problems. But, you know, native, yeah, I'd be upgrading. But anyway, no schema changes, no Active Directory other than you need an Active Directory. Who has an Active Directory in their environment? Yes. So, see, it's easy. You don't have to do anything on the servers. You know, it's a free and easy way. All right, and when I was selling the client-side extensions, they're part of the operating system in Windows 7 and Windows 8 and Windows Vista, and 2008 and 2008 R2 and 2012. All right. But I've said it in my last two sessions as well, I'm going to say it again. The group policy client-side extensions, and I'll kind of show you why that soon. The best thing to do is always use the latest and greatest version of the group policy management console when editing your group policy objects in general. Preferences are definitely a reason why you would want to do that, okay? Because they just light up the latest features. So they're aware of the IE6, they're aware of IE7, they're aware of IE8 and IE9, and they're aware of IE10, right? But if you're editing it on a Windows 7 machine, okay, it's not even kind of aware of IE9, but it will be, and it's not. There's nothing there about IE10 at all, okay? Right, that's a good example of why you wouldn't want to edit it, you know, and if you start deploying IE10 in your environment, I haven't heard anything about IE10 coming out for Windows 7. I assume it is at some stage, I don't know, but if it does, you know, how are you going to edit the preferences for IE10 machines on a Windows 7 machine? You're going to need the group policy management console in Windows 8. Remote Server Admin Tools, GPMC. They're still not out yet. I've been searching for them every couple of hours and go, is it out yet? Is it out yet? Is it out yet? I don't know. Certainly doesn't seem to be. It's only the release preview version if you want the Remote Server Admin Tools for Windows 8. Okay, and so you can play with it right now, though, on Server 2012, because the Group Policy Management Console is part of Windows Server 2012. All right, if you install the Active Directory role, it's automatically installed. Not that I recommend you do Group Policy edits on your domain controller, but any Server 2012, say a terminal server or something like that, uses your management server, you can install just the Group Policy Management Console. All right, right now, today. So, we have settings. All right, this is where I transition into demo mode. But I'll just recap quickly what I just kind of talked about. We have settings. We have a whole bunch of new settings, all right, that you can use. And these will be actions that you probably are doing in your logon script. Who maps drives in their logon scripts? Who maps printers in their logon scripts? Who updates the local administrator password in their logon scripts? No one's willing to admit. Oh, some, maybe some. Yeah. Who deploys shortcuts, i.e. favorites? Yeah, yeah. Lots of things we do in our logon scripts. We have a whole bunch of settings, and I reckon that all these settings that are in there are going to be... I've certainly gone into organizations and got rid of logon scripts, because 100% of the actions were in preferences. All right. We have actions. And the actions, which I didn't say before, are generally create, replace, update, and delete. CRUD. All right, it's a term that's been around for a little while. I like to use this slide because everyone thinks that when they say, oh, I love your session, I love that picture you used for the CRUD. It's like, yeah, so you've got actions that we can take. Mapping a printer, creating a file, all right, deleting a file, updating a file or folder. All right, so we have those actions that we can take. Targeting, we can individually target settings. All right, to computers, users, we have a whole bunch. I think there's 27 different ways you can target these individual settings within the group policy object. Remember, the group policy object itself needs to be linked to the machine or user somehow. But then you have granular targeting within. So you could apply this at the very top level of your organizational unit structure, maybe not at the domain level, but you could at least apply it at a higher level, okay? And then have some granular targeting before that. So demo. So I'm going to now go to demo mode. All right. So I'm going to show you quite a few examples of how preferences can be used in action. So excellent. Sorry if this is too small, but it's about the biggest I can make it. Although I can probably increase the resolution of this. Slightly. I'll increase. I know that doesn't actually make it any bigger resolution wise, but I'm really tempting fate by changing resolutions mid demo. Oh, I really am, aren't I? Okay, so group policy. It'll come back, don't worry, I can reconnect. So group policy preferences. All right, so here I've got a really simple OU structure. I'll just show you what I've got here. So I've got a people OU. I have two people there. I've got myself and another user. And I've got one machine, Windows 8. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to... See? Second time it worked. That happened a few times. This is release preview of Hyper-V, but the operating systems within these are RTM. So this is the RTM version. So use people, workstations. Okay. So I've got two grow policy objects here. I've got the people object, and I've got the workstations object. All right. So let's edit group policy. And notice under here, you might have gone into group policy and gone, oh, I've noticed there's these new things here. I've got policy section, but I also have preferences section. So when I was talking about group policy policies, that's what I'm talking about there. These take precedence, remember. All right, but then I have preferences. So we've got Windows settings and we've got control panel settings. So easiest way to figure out what goes into what, if it's something you can do in the control panel, it'll obviously be under control panel settings. If it's something you can do in Windows settings, all right, it's something you don't do within control panel, but it's something else. All right, you might be just there scanning through. We've got environment variables. We can modify our environment variables using group policy preferences. We can do files, folders. We can update INI files, registry keys, shortcuts. These are all pretty things that we do in our logon scripts, yeah? And then we've got a few there on the control panel. We've got data source names. We can do some modifications around there. We can explicitly disable devices. We can configure our folder options, you know, show file extensions, because users get really confused about those file extensions. They call their file name, you know, myfile.txt.txt, because, you know, the extension's hidden. All right, you can configure that sort of stuff in there. Local users and groups, all right, so you can configure local users and groups, network options, power, heaps of stuff there. All right, pretty similar under preferences, under the user as well. We have this application one here, and people always go, oh, how do I control my applications under here? You can't. It doesn't do anything. All right, it's a legacy left over from the old version of the product. All right, that went when Microsoft bought them. If you want some sort of third-party way to lock down third-party applications you have in your environment, like Firefox and stuff like that, to actually lock them down, all right, rather than just configure them. 2 years ago, Jeremy Moskowitz was here. I don't know if any of you remember him, but he has a product called Policy Pack. So policypack.com, I'd recommend you go check that out. It's a great way. It adds another option under here. All right. But you can do other things like drive mappings, environment variables. All right. So let's go in and look internet settings. So, woohoo. Okay, if anyone used to do Internet Explorer stuff in Windows 7, you would have known that it only supported Windows Internet Explorer 8. Okay, luckily they've updated that. Actually, it supported up to version 9 in Windows 7. The problem was Internet Explorer version number was 9.01. Right, so it said, well, you're 9.01, that's greater than 9, so I don't support you. And you could go in and hack the registry, hack the XML files behind it to make it work. But now they've just updated it. But we also have Internet Explorer 10. So if we go in here, who recognises that dialog box? I mean, it looks pretty similar to IE9, right? A lot of the settings in here have just taken the UI from the actual configuration and actually applied it as a setting. So it's really nice and familiar for you to configure it. All right, so a couple of conventions that I need to just go through here. If you go, this is a good one here. You notice we have these green circles next to our tick boxes here, right? If I configure this item, the green and the green lines, all right, means that it will configure those items. But what if I don't want all those settings configured? That's okay. If I press F8, they all go red, which means none of those items in this setting will configure. If all I want to do is configure this one item here to say play system sounds, I can then hit F6. If I want to turn that off individually, I can hit F7. If I want to turn them all back on, I can hit F5. All right? So, notice if you're colorblind that it's a circle with a line through it, and if it's is it red, if it's disabled, and then if you're not, if it's enabled, it'll be just a circle. All right, so they've thought about accessibility there as well. So you can just go in and so hit F6. All right, but there's a whole heap of things we can do in here. Really common one here. Notice here we've got a dotted red line under there. So I'm going to disable everything here, but I'm just going to enable this, which is the home page. Wonderful website that is, grouppolicy.biz. I recommend you set it to the homepage for all your machines in your organisation. So let's just go in here, just to prove. Hopefully I do have internet access. I should have internet access in here. Notice the homepage here is, you know, Bing, New Zealand.bing. I love how it automatically redirects you to, there we go, it does work. All right, and then I've got this little script here. I'm just going to do a GP update. Hopefully my policy updates work well in this demo. Updating, updating, updating. Yay, computer. And done. All right, I'll go back. Ta-da! Homepage has changed. It's pretty easy. Who does that in their logon scripts? Homepages, maybe. Yeah, all right, so that's one thing you can remove from your logon scripts. All right, the website's a bit slow, but you can see the URL there. Sticking away. There we go. What a wonderful website. Oh, okay. So That's pretty cool. Another thing we can do is shortcuts. Let's go back into here. All right, we can go to the user configuration. I'm just going to minimize this out of the way for a second. All right, shortcuts, new shortcut. I can do URL. Oh, I don't want shell objects. I want to do URL. Specify full path. I want to put a shortcut to the desktop. All right, I want to give that to the user. What's the URL? Another really great website there. I could use, I hate logon scripts, I suppose, but GP Central. All right. Yeah, I'll just leave it as update for now. So, nothing on the desktop. Hit group policy update. Goes away. Woohoo! Shortcuts deployed. All right, notice that did it in the background. The user didn't have to log off. Right? Which means I didn't have to wait for the user to run the logon script again. It will just get delivered to the machine within 90 minutes. Or if you went to my Windows 8, what's new with Windows 8 group policy session, you know you could now go to an organizational unit and go group policy update and force a group policy update on all the machines in your OU within 10 minutes. Or if you use PowerShell, you could do it instantly. All right? So you can now push out shortcuts to your desktop. All right? And it's pretty cool. But I'm a user. I don't like that shortcut. I'll delete it. All right, so guess what happens? It doesn't lock them out from deleting it. It could be if you put it in the all users and they didn't have permissions, but the next group policy update, it'll come back. Woohoo! And so now all your users are going to do all day, every 2 hours, is delete that shortcut, and they're not going to get any work done. Okay, question? Is it possible to configure policy preferences to only run it logon? Generally not. But there are some synchronous settings that will only run at logon. So there are some settings that will only run at logon. No, generally not. These are group policies. It's like saying, can you configure group policy to only run at logon? No, sitting there in the background refreshing all the time. You can do some targeting that might help. You're going to see that in a sec. All right. So I'm a user and I deleted that. And that's really annoying. And what I want to do is say, well, you know, we want to deploy that shortcut. But if they really want to delete it, that's fine. There's this option here that says apply once and do not reapply. Woohoo. So, what I do is I'll tick this. I will delete this first. Do a GP update. So I ticked it. It applied it once. So that's once. So it's applied that shortcut once. And it says do not reapply. I'll delete it. Wait for that to finish. Do a group policy update again. Nothing comes back, right? And you go, oh, that's pretty cool, because now you can set a preference for the user to say, these are the shortcuts you should really take a look at, but if you want to clean your desktop up, you can. But then a month later, the CEO has this big important video, and you want to push that shortcut out to the user's desktop again. How do I do that? What it's done is it's set a unique ID number for that action. It knows that action has been taken, and it won't run it again. So what you do is you go into here, and if you want to push it out again, you untick it, hit apply, tick it again, hit apply. You've now increased that unique ID number, and then when I do a GP update again, it will now refresh it again. Okay? Cool. All right, so now I've got the ability to slightly control my user's desktop, but not annoy them so much to say that, you know, I hate this environment, I can't do anything, I can't change my own desktop, because it's their desktop, they like the pretty flowers and stuff like that. Maybe, you know, be nice to your users, because they, you know, they like their photos on their desk, and, you know, they like their photos on their desktop. And it's like, give them the ability to customize their workstation a little bit, and maybe they're not as angry at you all the time. All right? So that's the apply once and do not reapply option, all right? So that's with shortcuts. All right, so who has Adobe Acrobat Reader in their environment? A lot of people. Adobe Acrobat Reader is actually a pretty good group policy-enabled program, okay? But what I'm going to do is show you how you can use the registry key option to directly manipulate settings within Adobe Acrobat Reader. This is the one tick box that I personally and a lot of other people don't like to have enabled by default in Adobe Acrobat Reader, because it's enabled JavaScript by default. And how many people need JavaScript enabled in their PDF files? Not many. How many attack vulnerabilities are there that are JavaScript based? A lot. All right? So I want to turn that off, all right? I want to turn that tick box there off. Now, I'm not locking it out. This is a preference. I'm not locking the UI out, all right? Something like Policy Pack, which I mentioned before, would lock the UI out, all right? Third-party product, all right? So what I'll do is I'll go in here. I'm going to edit. I know from history. I won't go that one. But one I've done before is here. I'm going to edit back in the people policy. Preferences. Oh, no, I can't do registry hacks under control panel, can I? No, I can do it outside that. All right. So here I have my registry option. All right, but notice here on the desktop I've got some XML files, right? Look how easy, this is one I've created before, but then I deleted it. But look how easy it is. I will drag that onto here, and do you want to import that? Yes, I do. All right, the ability to, these preferences, if you have them here, what you can do is once you've created them, you can actually get that there and then drag it on back onto the desktop, create and replace here, all right, I'll replace that. And create copies. This is the XML file. Let's just open it with Notepad. Word wrap. This is the preference in its raw format that you can use to say, you can modify that. So if I had 100 printers and I don't want to sit there going next, finish, installing 100 printers, I could get this XML file and I could go through it somehow and just automatically update just the printer names quickly. All right, using some sort of other script that I wrote. Remember, I hate logon scripts. I don't necessarily hate scripts. And you could then just copy that back straight in, and it will just re-import them all. All right. So really, really great feature there is, you know, if you want to just back it up what you're doing, something like that. All right. Notice, though, that it's also very grayed out. That means that setting is actually disabled. So this green circle here, we'll enable that item, and if we go in, that's the registry key. All right, I didn't really want to type it out, that's why I did one before. So software, Adobe Acrobat Reader 10, JS Prefs. That's the registry key, it's a reg D word, and I'll set it to 0. All right, I'll go in here. I shouldn't have to close the program again. I'll hit that. Going back to your will apply at first log on, if you use the apply once and do not reapply, first time they log on, it will apply. Oh, at every log on. No, that would be difficult. Yeah. Go back into preferences. Maybe that's not the right one. Maybe it was one is the what I wanted to set it to. One user, people, yeah. Before I do that, I will close it and open. Ah, had to close and open it. All right, I didn't do another GP update. I just didn't close and open it. But notice there, the registry key's changed, and now that tick box there has been unticked. All right, so I've got the ability now to push out registry key changes within 2 hours to all my machines in my organization in question. Pardon? No. All right. Is there a way of pinning items to the taskbar or the start menu? So you've never been able to pin things to the taskbar. That's something that Microsoft has said, no, this is something that the user needs to keep control of. And you also can't configure what items are pinned to the Windows 8 start menu. All right, you can't configure this, but if you go into all apps, this here is the equivalent of the program menu, you know, in Windows 7 when you hit start, and it's got those pinned items straight in the start menu there. And on the right, over here, is the equivalent of all programs. So you can configure this, which no one really knows about. Who here knew about that? If you right-click on the start menu, there's an all apps option there. All right, you do now. Okay. So that's, you know, because you're missing a lot of options there. All right, so that's registry keys. That's pretty cool. All right, who applies registry keys in their logon script? Awesome, now you've got a way to get rid of that out of your logon script. Cool, all right, I'm whittling down this logon script for you. Awesome. Okay, some other things. Drive mappings. Who's got drive mappings in their logon script? Yeah, this is the good one. All right. So I'm going to create a drive mapping. I've already whet your appetite for that, haven't I? All right. So I'm going to create a drive mapping here. And it's 2012 DC / data. Label. What's a cool label? You know, drive label? Call one out. Bron. Okay. And what drive mapping are we going to use? Of course, if it's for Prawn, it's X. So I'm going to do that. I've mapped that drive mapping here. And I'm going to go back and just to prove that I didn't have one there before. There's no X drive there called Prawn. Okay, applying the update. Computer successfully applied. How am I going for time? Not two. Do I want to log off? Why is it asking me to log off? Because you can't map a drive while the user's logged on. That is a synchronous task. It's the one synchronous task in group policy preferences. So the user has to log off and log back on for that. Generally speaking, it's because you don't want the user to be working in the drive and have the drive disappear and remap while they're working in it. All right, that's why they've made it a synchronous task. All right, if I log back on. See, notice there very quickly it went through group policy drive mapping. All right, if I go back. Hey, I got Prawn. Woohoo! Okay, so I've got X drive there, it's mapped, that's pretty cool. So now you can get rid of drive mappings out of your logon scripts. Well, and then another thing you can do with that is also printer mappings. All right, so I'll go in here, do printer mappings, shared printer, pretty standard one, 12DC. All right, I'll go in, I'll open printers first. Don't have a printer map there, no. Hit OK, go back. GP update. Going to get that really soon. Going to get to targeting really soon. Why is it not asking me to log off again? Do I log off? No. Haha, I didn't log off, but there you go, the printer just appeared. Woohoo. I just mapped my printer, so now you can remove printer mapping from your logon scripts, but I want to apply printer mappings to not everyone. I want to apply them to a select number of select users. Right, so what if I have in my environment a printer that's used by only the finance team because they like printing checks, and checks are good because that's how we get paid, so you want to make sure that, you know, they can print to those, but you don't want everyone else to print to them. Right, so what I can do is I can go in here, I can do a new printer mapping. This is another one, 2012 DC finance. But then I go to common tab here, and under here I go item level targeting, and I click this targeting button, and I now have the ability to target based on any one of those criteria. All right, absorb it, there's a lot there, all right. I can, the ones that are really popular, security group, all right? So if I select a security group there, and I go finance, all right? Finance users, there it is. If you're a member of that group, great. So I'll put a comment in here for finance users. Hit OK. So I have one there for everyone, and I have one here for just finance users. Okay, so what I do then is I go back and I do a GP update. I wonder if it'll ask me to log off again. If it's going to ask me to log off, I'm going to kill that drive mapping. Yeah, all right, hang on. Drive mapping. Yeah, I should do it just around one sec. I've deleted it now. So I'm going to hit no anyway. But notice it didn't map. Why didn't it map? Because my user, Alan, is not in the finance group. All right? I have another user, which is in the finance group. All right? And that user is John Smith. Just have a look. member of, finance users, yep, he's in a member of it. So what I'm going to do now is quickly... generic text, give it a sec. Just gonna add, I think it's there, come on. There it is. Oh, I did it. I didn't have to do the GP update. So there it is. It's got the finance printer as well. All right? Pretty cool. So that's targeting, but let's have a look a little bit closer at targeting. What else can I do with targeting? Let's go back to that printer. So what if it's just the general one? Item level targeting. Add item. IP range. Who has floors in their buildings which have IP ranges allocated to them? Excellent. Who has printers on those floors? Right, so you can now say if computer is in 10.0.0.1 to 10.0.0.255, map this printer. All right, the user goes there, they'll map the printer, excellent. But what happens, right, when they walk away from that area? Well, preferences are sticky, they don't revert, so that printer mapping will remain. All right, if they're a roaming profile, because the printer mapping is stored in their profile, and it doesn't get removed. So if I hit OK there, and I go back to, I don't want that machine. Well, that's the one that I tried to resize. All right, if I go back in as Alan, how long do I have? How much longer do I have for the session? I keep losing time. Oh, cool. All right, so what I do is I go back into here as Alan and I do a GP update. Right. Remember I added it in a scope which said 10.0.0.1. Alright. And my scope here is 10.1.1.1. The printer didn't disappear. Alright. So if we go back and we change the action of this one to replace, and now there's this one here, remove this item when it's no longer applied. Alright, so then when the user falls out of scope, it will remove that option. Notice the apply once and do not reapply gets grayed out there, and the only option you have for the action when you tick that box is replace. A replace action actually does a delete and then an add. An update does a kind of a, if it already exists and there's something different about it, I'll kind of add something new to it, like if it had the label there and that was changed, I'll update that, but I'm not going to unmap the drive and map it again. All right, but if I do that, go back and I do, so I'm now going to have to, I'm not sure if I have to do this twice, probably not. Well, let's try it twice. Did I actually hit OK for that targeting? Generic, common, target, remove. I'm just gonna remove device. Sorry about this. Okay, one more GP update, adding printer, adding printer, adding printer. Alright. Yeah. It's why you always need to test in your environment first. Make sure things are working. What's a good one? Okay. This computer is called Win8. So, target if computer name, right, equals Win8. Alright, but something else to add here is that I'm not just limited to one item. I can actually add multiple items. Kyle, I could actually put, if the computer name is Windows 8 and the user is a member of security group. Alright, and I can start building up collections to say if this collection is true. So, and the IP address range equals that. And so I'll move that under there. Alright, and who has terminal services in their environment? I love this one. Hang on. Is it into here? Remote desktop services. Client TCP IP address. So the IP address of the client that's connecting to the terminal server. Not the terminal server itself, but the client that's connecting to the terminal server. Alright, so I can still do location aware. I mean, the user connects to the terminal server or remote desktop services or whatever, and it's like they all just appear that they're in Auckland where they could be everywhere. You know, in Australia it's a bit of a problem because we have multiple time zones. So if you're connecting from Perth to a terminal server in Brisbane, or, you know, there's something site-based that you want, such as the printer mapping, you can still do that sort of stuff. Alright, so you can really build this up. Alright, and you can even start labelling these to say, well, okay, what's this mean here? And it's like, this is the Perth IP range. So if you actually want to add some useful comments there of, well, why is that condition in there, you can start building that up. Alright. I'm going to show another one for that replace. I'm going to say that's not going to work. So what I'm going to do here is create a registry key. All right, a registry key, and it's delete. All right, get rid of that. So I have a mouse, and mice use registry keys, and one of the registry keys is the double click speed. So if I set my double click speed really slow, notice this value here, double click speed, if I hit OK there and I go F5, it's now 900 milliseconds. And if I go back in here and I set it about medium, all right, I hit there and I hit F5 and it's 620 milliseconds. But 620 milliseconds is just a little bit too slow for me. I like 600 milliseconds. All right, but I have to go in here and set the registry key using that, because the slider value doesn't let me set 600 milliseconds. But if I drag this in here, which is another one I've created earlier, I enable this, I go replace, and I want 600. All right, remove when this no longer applies. All right, so right now it's set to 620. Group policy update, group policy update, group policy update. Now, this actually won't work. All right. The reason why it won't work is because if you would have noticed, what I did was I applied this registry key. At least I hope it doesn't work. It's going to make a liar at me. No, it worked. Bugger. The point I was trying to make here was group policy preferences. Use the context when you're running as a user. Okay, the mouse setting is something the user can set, actually, so that's probably why it did work. Sorry. Group policy preferences. If you're running as a user, if you're trying to do something as a user, it will do it in the user's context. All right? If you want to do something on the machine, all right, it will do it in the machine context. You need to go and apply it using a group policy object that's targeted to the machine, and you also need to do it up here in the computer configuration registry key settings. So my point there was to say, when you're making registry key changes, if you need admin access to create those registry key changes, you need to do it as the computer account under the computer's group policy that's targeted the computer object. And if it's and you need to have it under the computer configuration section. All right. But so I've applied that registry key. It's changed to 600. Great. So I'll go down here and I'll now delete that. Remember, I previously ticked apply once and remove when no longer in scope. Gone. Deleted the key. All right? right? Because it removed it when it no longer reapplies. So does that mean that I can no longer double click? No. Windows is actually pretty good that it actually survives without that registry key there. All right. So if I go in and I go hit OK there, the registry go in and manipulate that value. Hit apply. Registry key comes back. But if it was an application that would completely and utterly die if you remove that registry key, you've got to be really careful. Okay? So please don't be careful when you're using that remove option, because remember when I was talking administrative or native templates will revert back to the previous setting. In group policy preferences, though, they won't revert back. But if you use that remove option, which was the exception to the rule, it will just delete it. All right? Who here has a green or has some green sort of policy initiative in their environment? We need to save power and stuff like that in their environment. Yeah, a few hands up. Everyone likes to save money because, you know, when you save money, you go to your boss and say, hey, I saved the company some money. All right. So what you can do with group policy on top of that is you can go in and edit group policy. Or you can edit your power plans for your computers. So here's power options. Here's my Windows 7. Again, it's the familiar UI you would have probably seen when you're manipulating power plans in Windows 7. So you go in and you can modify display timeout. So turn my display off. I've got a power option here under balanced. It says turn off the display after 10 minutes. Okay. So balanced power plan, plugged in, turn it off after, I'm going to save the company a huge amount of money after 9 minutes. All right, I apply that. Do a GP update. Now sets to 9 minutes. Okay, cool. I've just saved the company 10 cents. Great. But you can see what I mean. You can now apply power plans to your computers. Something I blogged about is that one of the targeting options with power plans, or one of the general targeting options, is you can actually do a time range. All right. I can apply a high performance power plan to my machines between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. All right. But then, remember, settings don't revert back. I could apply a second power plan option. All right, let's say that's set as power save. That's all right. Well, maybe actually let's just update the balanced display. Turn off display after 1 minute. Okay, and I could target that the time range of the other way around, 5 p.m., 9 a.m., all right? And I can apply that to say, after hours, I'm going to apply this more stringent power plan. Now, remember group policy updates every 90 minutes, all right? Group policy preferences updates at the same time as that 90-minute schedule. So if you did this and a machine did a group policy update at 4:59:59 seconds, it'll have a high-performance power plan. And it won't be till 90 minutes with a little bit of extra randomness later, so about 6:30, that all your machines in your organization that are left on will now revert to that low power plan. Okay? So while the time range is great, it doesn't mean that bang at 5 p.m. it's going to do that action. Alright? So keep that in mind. But you notice also you have date range there. Where is it? Pardon? Yeah, so you push it. But the machine. So what you could do is say do it at 7 a.m. The machine is turned off, so that it's been a good user, and they turn their machine off at the end of the day. They come in at 7:01, they power their machine on, and what happens is the machine goes, "Have you got a new group policy for me?" Or what the time is, it does a group policy refresh at 7:01. So maybe what you do is you pick the time in the morning just before where all the machines start to turn on. So when they start to be turned on, they'll refresh, but then by about 8:30, any machine that's been left on will have been turned on. So if you start at 7. So you've got that transitional period there with that time zone range. Okay. So how's that? Who has something else in their logon scripts that they want to get rid of? Question? Yep. Right. Way to get them to fail more nicely. Oh yeah, and it sits there and it times out mapping the printer. So group policy preferences is the action that does something. So is there some way if mapping a printer, what you're saying, and it takes a long time to map that printer, or is there a way somehow to time that out? Not really, because it's doing the action, and if the action takes a long time, it's going to take a long time. It's not solving the problem with doing the action itself. Sounds like you have a problem with the printer. If standard user can't, you need to look at why the user can't install that printer more than using preferences as a solution to that option. Ah, okay. Don't do that then. If the driver's not installed, This is a very flexible tool that allows you to do a lot of actions in your environment. Those actions, if you know the action that you want to achieve, you do that action. If the standard printer mapping doesn't work, then your problem is with the printer mapping, not with preferences doing the printer mapping. Yeah, so. Yeah, can you launch exes or scripts? Good question. So there's a scheduled task, all right? There's a scheduled task option. You can do create scheduled tasks, and so that's the XP one. There was in Windows 7 the immediate scheduled task action for Windows 7. They've deprecated that. You cannot run an immediate task action anymore in Windows 8. I think they had a lot of problems with it. I don't know why, but it's not there. But you can do a scheduled task, and that scheduled task is just your standard scheduled task. Task name is to do something. And the trigger for that scheduled task, enter user account information. Okay. So the trigger for that is all your standard triggers. So you can go at logon. That might help with your at logon question. You can do a scheduled task that does at logon, so you can push that out. But you've got the whole scheduled task, so you can push out scheduled tasks to your machines. If you wanted to do a scheduled task really quickly and use this, because remember it takes 90 minutes to push out the scheduled task. It doesn't help if you want to do something right away. But if you pushed out a scheduled task to say run at this time, and then you did a group policy update with Windows Update, right, pushes out a group policy update to those machines, all of a sudden those machines get that scheduled task really quickly, and if you've scheduled that for 11 minutes from now after you do a group policy update, it's a great way to quickly run something on your machines in your environment. All right, I think I'm running out of time. So just quickly, if you're troubleshooting and diagnosing group policy preferences, what you need to do is go under the policies. It says, a native administrative template, under system group policy, and there's a logging and tracing. So if you want to enable some advanced logging and tracing to troubleshoot why something's not applying or something like that, and you think it should apply, this is where you go to do the advanced logging. And you can enable logging for individual components. So for printers, you can go in here, click enable, but then tracing is off, and then you need to turn it on. And this is where those group policy logs, you can configure it, but by default, it's under common app data, which is actually program data / group policy preferences use log. Okay, so that's for some troubleshooting with group policy preferences. Yeah, sometimes they don't work. You just got to troubleshoot it. Okay, so who thinks that group policy preferences are going to be really useful in getting rid of logon scripts in their organization? All right, if you put your hand up, you have to give me top marks on my eval. If you didn't put your hand up, you still have to give me top marks on my eval because I'm just great. But if you want to know more, the book. There is a book out at the moment. I'm not saying you should go out and buy that right now, but Jeremy Moskowitz is working on an updated book, and I am helping him do it. I'm the technical editor on that book. All right, this is the current book, and of course it's going to be on about Windows Server 2012 and Windows 8 as well. We're going to cover all that. So I strongly recommend that probably by the end of the year that'll be out on Amazon and all good bookstores. You go out and buy a copy because it'll have all lots of stuff in there about preferences. Thank you very much for attending. This is my last session. Come up and ask questions if you want.